All right, Rabbi Osei, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Hey 105. We are beginning. What's back there, Bob? I'll speak lower.
I'm sorry.
So we are today's daf is Kuf Hey. We are starting Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, the Mishnah. I want to thank Yehuda for giving shir yesterday. So let's begin at the Mishnah. So now, we'll say we've gotten into a number of different cases regarding different ways of selling land. Specifically, again, what we've seen is there are times in which a person sells an exact amount of land. There are times in which a person sells a certain amount of land and adds in the caveat more or less. And we've seen the various ramifications of those types of what we'll call it transactional articulations. Meaning, again, the way you articulate the framework of the sale ultimately, again, determines how much give there is on the amount of property conveyed. Now, we'll say the Mishnah is going to get into another interesting idea. Let's take a look. Last two lines, Kuftal Ramadez 104b. Mida bechevel ani mocher lecha. Hein chaser, hein yaser. So we'll say, let's say I say the following. Say, Reuven, I'm selling you a land. I'm selling you land. Mida bechavel. So we'll say, mida bechavel normally means what? I'm selling you an exact amount of land. I'm going to sell you, let's just use a core. I'm going to sell you a core of land, and we're going to measure out that core with a rope. Which we'll say is another way of saying, I'm selling you an exact amount of land. And then I say, hein chaser, hein yaser. More or less. So we'll say, effectively, what have I done? I've gone ahead and I've made two contradictory statements within one transactional framework. So I say, Mida Bechevel, I'm selling you an exact amount of land, and more or less. So we'll say, Sendei Abiyah Shailen now becomes, so which of those statements defines the transactional framework? So therefore, the Mishnah Paskins, Batal hein yeser, hein chaser, hein yeser, mida v'chavel. So what it says, the Mishnah says the second lashon negates the first. So in this case, where I said mida v'chavel, and then hein chaser v'hein yeser, so ultimately again, the hein chaser, hein yeser, the more or less statement negates the first statement of mida v'chavel, and therefore this transaction is governed by those details we spoke about earlier, namely again, that there is a certain amount of what we'll call give on the transaction. Hein chaser, hein yaser, mida bechavel. Well, so let's say I reversed it. I say, Reuven, I'm selling you land, more or less a core, and it's going to be measured out by a rope, which I will say, effectively say, I'm selling you a core of land, more or less, but I'm also selling you exactly a core. So what's the status of that transaction? So top of kuf hem adalif, bata mida bechavel, hein chaser, hein yaser. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the Mishnah says that the statement, mida bechevel, I'm selling you exactly a core, which I will say is the second statement, negates the first. And the Mishnah ends off by saying, divrei ben nanos. This Mishnah reflects the view of ben nanos. So we'll say, go back for just one moment to Kuftal Ramad Beis, to the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says, mida bechevel, ha'omer lechabero beis l'shonos halalu hasosrin zeze. So we'll say, what's happening in this Mishnah? I'm selling my field to Reuven, and I'm making two contradictory statements in the transaction. So alo zeze beis krof ani mocha lecha mida bechevel hein chesrein yaser bita lashon acharon ze dahinu hein chesrein yaser es lashon acharon dahinu mida bechevel vafilo piches ruba lasa hosi ruba lasa disfiri lehaitana dechol shem last line of the Rashbam kuf yudal amud beis dechol shnei lashonos shem lechira shesosrin zeze tafos lashon acharon. So as we're going to see over here, this Mishnah affects the view of ben nanos. Now we've actually seen this shita of ben nanos in other places throughout our journeys throughout Shas. Ben nanos says whenever you make two statements, two contradictory statements, the second statement always has supremacy over the first. So this is shtei lashonos sosrin zu azu, two different statements that contradict each other. Tofsin lashon acharon. Remember that phrase. Tofsin lashon acharon. We grab the second statement. That becomes the defining statement for the transactional framework. Now the Rashbam just adds in over here a very important caveat. He says, the chozer bo besoch kidei dibor min harishon. Although the Gemara is not going to state this explicitly, this is understood in this conversation, where the second statement Rabbi Osai is made toch kedei dibor, is ultimately made literally when we spoke about toch kedei dibor, the amount of time that I say that it takes to say shalom alecha Rabbi Umori. So it's said toch kedei dibor of the first statement. So according to Ben Anas, when you make a second contradictory statement toch kedei dibor of the first, we understand that your intention is for that second statement to replace the first. Therefore, says Ben Anas, if I'm selling land to Reuven, and at the end of the day I make one statement that indicates one type of transaction, followed toch kedei dibor by a second statement that seems to paint a different transactional picture, tafas lashon achron. We grab the second statement, that becomes the definition for the transaction. Fine, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, we'll say kuf hei amad aleph, second line in, by the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, bar mamo, Amar Rab. Chokin alov chaverav al benanas. Once it comes along, Rabbi Abba bar Mamo says the name of Rav. Just by the way, you should know that Benanas's. Thank you. So as I shared this morning, so before we go on, is dedicated by Les and Lily Ward for Les's parents, Nathan Ward, Nachum Ben Kalman, and Molly Ward, Esther, Malka, Bas, Ephraim, and Lily's parents, George, Sir, Gershon, Ali, Ezra, Ben Shmuel, Zanville, and Mary, Sir, Malka, Bas, Yeshaya. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the family in the Chama. So we will say, comes along Rav, or Rabbi Amar Bar Mamal, the name of Rav, and says, by the way, even though Benanus has the great Sechus to get his own Mishnah, right? To both say, you know, meaning the beautiful part of this Mishnah is what? No one's arguing on him. So generally, when you see a Mishnah without Machlokis, you generally assume that what? Everyone agrees, right? It's the halachas like this Mishnah. Everybody's going to agree. Comes along and says, just by the way, you should know, not everybody agrees with this. Meaning the Chachamim disagree with Benanus. So the Gemara says, okay, Mike Kamashwan, both say, by the way, you understand how beautiful this is. The Lashon of here, Cholkin Alov Chaverov Al Benanus. Right? What's the Gemara coming to teach you? Say you could still be someone's chaver, even if you disagree with them. Right? Again, you don't have to agree with someone in order to be able to be their chaver. There's a way to disagree agreeably. So the Maisa, again, even though, again, we're going to see this machlokis is going to get quite intense, and this machlokis is going to have many different ramifications, and this machlokis is going to have many ripple effects and repercussions. Nevertheless, those who argue on bananas are still this chaver, incredible yisod, so the Gemara asks, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo, why do you need to state this? That the Rabbanon disagree with Benanas. We already know that the Rabbanon disagree with Benanas. Well, so I have to understand, this machlokas of Tafas Lashon Rishon or Tafas Lashon Acharon, when a person makes two contradictory statements, do we ascribe supremacy to the first statement or to the second statement? This is a Shas Machlokas, meaning this Machlokas comes up many different places. So it happens to be here, it's in Baba Basra, because one of the times that Benanas quotes it happens to be in a case of selling of real estate. And it deals with the case we said before. But the Imam is asking for the need, why does Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo have to quote Rav and say, oh, by the way, this is a Machlokas. We know it's a Machlokas. So the Gemara says, how do you know it's a Machlokas? Michael Marshall, Antonio, we learned this already before. But we'll say this is really very interesting. Maisa bitzipori, be'echad shesachar merchatz nechaveiro, b'shtim asar zuhuvim l'shana, diner zav l'chodesh. We'll say, listen to this case. So I go ahead and I rent out my bathhouse to Reuven. And I rent it to him, I will say, for what? For 12 gold pieces for the year, which one gold piece per month. That's how the transaction was stated. 12 gold pieces for the year, one gold piece per month. And this situation came before Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. I will say, now what situation? Take a look at the Rashi for just a moment. Listen to this. So we'll say the way the transaction was set up was the following. I went ahead and I rented my bathhouse. I'm the owner of the bathhouse. I rented it to Reuven. And the way the transaction was framed was the rental is going to cost you 12 silver pieces for the year. 10 gold pieces for the year. One gold piece per month. That's how it was framed. So what happened? So listen to this. Va'osa shana ibor haisa. And we'll say, so what happened? What happened? It's a neighbor shana, right? A neighbor yard. So what occurs? They made it into a leap year. And we'll say, just so you understand, it was obviously coming from the perspective where leap years were declared on an as-needed basis. So at the time that we negotiated this rental, neither I nor Ruvay knew that it was going to be a leap year. What happens a few months into the rental, it turns out that now it's going to be a leap year. So we'll say, so what's the shayla? What's the shayla? The shayla is, what do you do with the 13th month? Because let's just frame this outside for just a moment. What's the issue? See, if you look at the first wording, the first part of our rental agreement said what? I'm renting you this bathhouse for the year for 12 gold pieces. So we'll say, so then according to that lashon, what should happen with the 13th month? It's included, right? Because again, this happens to be a year with 13 months. So therefore, the 13th month, again, the Reuven happens to get essentially another month for free, but that's the nature of the transaction. If ever you look at the second lashon, where I said what? I said one gold piece per month, then what? I'll say, what happens with the 13th month? Reuven owes me an additional 13th gold piece. So says Rashbam, he says, Vosa shana ibar haisa, v'itaf sinon lashon acharon nis abru l'socher. So I'll say, if you go ahead and you go after the first lashon, which was 12 gold pieces for the year, then ultimately it's the socher, it's the renter who gets the benefit, doesn't have to pay for the 13th month. L'shlosh asar chadoshim ki desan hasam, hamaskir b'ayisach haveri l'shana, nisab rashan, nisab l'socher l'maskir, v'chay liti no yud gimel zuhuvim, ki desan nami hasam, hiskir l'chad, so I'll say, fine. So what happens? This case came before Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. So now again, the shayla was over here, what happens with the 13th month? And I both said the difficulty is there are two. Now, at the time of the rental, when I said to Reuven, I'm renting this to you for 12 gold pieces for the year, one gold piece per month, so the truth is no big deal, meaning nobody paid much attention to two different lashonos. Now that there's a leap month, it's a leap year, there's an additional month, those lashonos give two different connotations. So what's the halacha? Does Reuven owe an extra gold piece for the 13th month or not? So they brought this case before Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi. Va'amar, and what did they say? Va'amru, yachloku esachodesh ha'ibor. Rabbi Yossi, what did Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say? Split the 13th month. Look at Rashbam, yachloku, yitim lo schar chatzi ha'chodesh, temamon hamotel besafek cholkin, the mesafkalahu itafus lashon acharon or lashon acharon. So lashon rishon or lashon acharon. So both say. So they brought this case before Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, and they both essentially said yachloku. You just have to split the value of the 13th month. So both say why? Why do they say split it? Because what they were saying is we don't know what to do. We don't know what the halacha is in a case where you have two contradictory lashonos. Do we go ahead and accept the first lashon or accept the second lashon? So we'll say this becomes mamon hamutal b'safik, money that is enshrouded by doubt. And anytime that you have money that is enshrouded by doubt, the halacha is yachlok, you split it. So we'll say, the Gemara saying over here is, why does Rabbi Arab Bar Mamal, why do you have to say in the name of Rav that there's a machlokes in Rabbanan and Benanas? We know that already from elsewhere. So why do you need to make this statement again? To which one I'll tell you why. Because I mehasam, because I will say, if the only precedent I have for this machlokes, Benanas and Rabbanan, is the case of the bathhouse, Hava Amina, Hasam hu di'ika lameymar, mehadar ka hadarbe, vi'ika lameymar, perushe kamefaresh. Sabosa, listen to this. So in the bathhouse case, Sabosa, I would have thought the following. Sabosa, there are two different ways you could understand the case of the bathhouse. Remember again, what's the situation? I'm renting it to Reuven. I say, Reuven, you're only 12 gold pieces for the year, one gold piece per month. Sabosa, so how do I interpret that second statement? On one end, I could say, mehadar kahadar bay. We'll say, on one end, I could say, the second statement is actually a retraction of the first. That at first, I thought I was going to charge him on a yearly basis. Now I see I'm charging you on a monthly basis. That's one way to look at the second statement. V'ika lemimar perushe kamefarish. But the other possibility is what? I could look at the second statement as what? As an interpretation of the first. We'll say, how interpretation of the first? That what I could say is, as much as I'll say, when you normally rent someone something for a year, when is payment due unless otherwise stated? At the end of the year. at the end of the year. So as I could very well be that what I'm saying to Rabbi Nazir, this is a yearly rental, but I'd like to be paid in monthly installments. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Ime hasam hava amina. Look at the Rashbam. He says, Ime hasam hava amina. De'in cholken alav chavir abenanas. The hasam nami modi benanas diachloku. Mishum di'ikalameimar mehadr kahadrebe. Milashon rishon v'tafas lashon achron. V'nes abra lamaskir. V'ikalameimar delo hadrebe milashon rishon. So we'll say, so one possibility is that when I say at first, I'm renting you this bathhouse for 12 gold pieces for the year. And then I say one gold piece per month. So first way of understanding that second statement is I'm recanting, or I'm retracting. I'm no longer making this a yearly rental, I'm making this a monthly rental. There's another possibility. The other possibility is Vika Lemaymar, Telo Hadr Bey Miloshna Rishon Venesabra Lesokar, Elo Perushe Kamefarish. That's whereas normally if I rent something to someone for a year, I only get the schiros, the rental fee at the end of the year. So possibility one is second statement could be a retraction of the first. Second possibility is second statement could be a modification of the first. And what I'm saying is, whereas in a normal rental, you would pay me at the end of the year, here I'm asking to be paid in 12 monthly installments. Of course, what that also brings with it is the ability for me to get out of the rental at the end of each month. See, Rabbi say, if you go ahead and you, if I say to Reuven, I'm renting you the bathhouse for 12 months, right? So Rabbi say, that tells me two things. Number one, when is payment due? At the end of the 12 months. Number two, if as the landlord, if I want to get out of the lease, mid-lease, can I? No. I'm stuck in that lease till the end of the year. Again, barring any breaches on the part of the renter. But I will say, if I go ahead and I say, I'm renting to you for 12 months, one gold piece per month, following a statement of I'm renting to you for a year, so we'll say the way that could be understood is two things. Number one, I'd like payment at the end of every month. And number two, I reserve the right to cancel the lease every month or at any point in time if I so choose. So okay, so Rashbam goes on to other ramifications. So we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Had you just framed this machlokes of tafas lashon achron or tafas lashon rishon from the case of the bathhouse, I would have said the case of the bathhouse is different. I will say why? Because it's really not clear exactly what the second statement is coming to do. Is the second statement coming to negate the first, or is the second statement coming to interpret the first? That's why there's ambiguity, and that's why, again, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi both paskin that what? Yachloku. You just have to say, because we don't know what to do with it. Aval hocha. But I will say, in the case of our Mishnah, divadai kam hader bey, Eimalo. So you both say, one thing is good. Let's jump back to our Mishnah. What's our Mishnah? Well, so our Mishnah is where I say to Reuven, I'm selling you land, right? Mida bechavel, hein chaser, hein yaser. I'm selling you an exact core, more or less. So I'll say, those are two inherently contradictory statements. In other words, those statements cannot work together. Therefore, I would have thought, in this case, where clearly the second statement is a retraction of the first, Imalo, the Rashbam says, the second Lashon certainly negates the first, Ema lo pligi rabbanan ale ela tafos lashon achron. So I would have thought, when's the machlokes rabbanan and benanus? That's in a case where we don't know what to do with the second lashon. Meaning, is it a retraction of the first or a clarification of the first? That's the machlokes. That's where benanus and rabbanan have a machlokes. Benanus will say accept the second lashon. Rabbanan will say achloku. But in our Mishnah, we'll say we're what? Where clearly the second statement is a retraction of the first. We'll say again, because remember, they can't be reconciled with each other. If I say to Reuven, I'm selling you a core of land, bechevel, and then hein cheser, hein yeser, more or less, we'll say that second statement is not an interpretation of the first. It's a contradiction of the first. I would have thought that maybe the Rabbanon agree with Benanus in that case and say, tafas lashon achron, Kamashmalon, no. Kamashmalon, Rabosai, that what? That even in this case, there is a machlokes team, Benanus and Rabbanon. So again, let's just tie this together. So therefore, Rabbi Abba Marbamo comes along and says in the name of Rab, he says, by the way, the Rabbanon disagree with Bananas, even in this case of the Mishnah. Because I would have thought that in any case where it's clear that the second statement is contradicting the first, that everyone agrees, Tafas, Lashon, Acharon, like Bananas, Kamash Malav, no. Kamash Malav said that even in a case where you have two contradictory statements, where the second clearly contradicts the first, there's still a machlokes. Bananas will hold, second statement always reigns supreme, that when we want to know what a person's true intentions are, we look at his second, last statement, whereas the Rabbanon and Rabbosei essentially say we're not sure. So that machlokes, that's the Mishnah. Therefore, again, that was the point of Rabbi Abraham Amos' statement. Good. So Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Bananas. So we'll say another similar statement. So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. These are the words of Bananas. In other words, this Mishnah that says Tafas Lashon Acharon, that's when we have two contradictory statements, we go after the second statement, that is the position of Bananas. Ava Chacham, the Chacham say, Halach achar pachos shebelishonos. Now, this is very interesting. So, according to Shmuel, the Chachamim hold, we go halach achar pachos halishonos. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. We'll say it's like about 10 lines before the lines get wide in the Rashbam. Halach achar pachos shebelishonos. What does this mean? Achar oso haloshon shemafchis koach shelokeach. So, we'll say essentially, the Chachamim say that whenever we have contradictory lishonos, we will go after the Lashon that diminishes the hold of the purchaser. Which is another way of saying on both sides, that whenever we have a Suffolk, we always err on the side of the owner of the land. Itafas Lashon Rishon O Acharon V'yad HaMocher Shumuchsak Bekarka Shalo Al HaElyono. So we'll say, which according to Shmuel, as much as Benana says Tafas Lashon Acharon, the Chachamim say that whenever you have a stira, contradiction between the Shonos, what do? You ascribe supremacy to the Lashon that gives the greater benefit to the seller. We'll say, because what's the chap of that? The seller is considered to be the one who is Muchsak, who is the owner of the land. Therefore, say the Chachamim, when in doubt, we side with the seller. The Rashbam goes on, he says, so whether that means accepting the first Lashon or accepting the second Lashon, Fiat Hamocher Shumuchsak Bakaka, meaning the Rashbam, Shalo Al Ha'al Yona. Because it will say the seller, who has the Chazak on his own hand, who on his own land, excuse me, Yodo Al Ha'al Yona, he has the upper hand. Hilchach. So Rashbam goes on. We don't have to get into it now. So we'll say, so the point over here is, now this is very exciting, because you understand, this is a major, major machlokes. And this type of machlokes, so we'll say, can have so many different ramifications. You have a seller making two contradictory statements. What do I do with that? Bananas essentially says, which we'll say is a very intuitive shita. Bananas says, the last thing out of your mouth, That's what we go with. Meaning, we assume the last thing you say is the statement you mean to govern, and to create the framework for this statement.
Don't they have a star?
No, this is a verbal agreement. Verbal agreement. Remember, we'll say, all the cases that we get into that get us very excited, a bit like halachically agitated, these are all cases where there's nothing in writing. Because if you have writing, a shtar trumps everything. This about says where there are verbal agreements between parties. So here, so Banana says, we look at the last thing you said. According to Shmuel, Chachamim say, Halach achar pacho shebelashonos. We essentially will go after whichever Lashon gives the seller the upper hand. Why are we siding with the seller, Rabbi Hussein? Because at the end of the day, the seller is the one who has the chazaka on the property. So whoever has the chazaka is the one who will side with. So the Gemara says, one second. Zoom below Sirile. Now the way Shmuel says this statement, is Shmuel says, it's rather who the name of Shmuel will say Shmuel. Shmuel says, Zu divrei bananas. This is the position of bananas, which makes it sound like Rabbi Hussein what? That Shmuel himself does not subscribe to this shita of Tafas Lashon Acharon. Is that really true? Doesn't Shmuel actually hold of this as well? So the Rashi says, Rav u'Shmuel demar tarbayu. So let's listen to this. Rav and Shmuel both said, we actually had this case earlier. Kur b'shloshim ani mocher lecha. Let's listen to this case. I say to Reuven, I'm selling you a kur of produce for 30 sela. I am selling you the quarter produce for 30 sela. So what's the halacha saying? Yochalach sabafila b'sachrona. Either party could renege until the full measure of the produce is weighed out. Why, Rabosai? Because when you frame the transaction as I'm selling you I'm selling you a core of produce for 30 sela, the way we understand that transaction is how that transaction is not complete, is not set in stone until the full amount of produce has been delivered. So therefore, at any point in time before the full amount of produce has been measured out, either of the parties has the ability to retract. However, listen to this. Let's say I said to Ruvain the following. Ruvain, I'm selling you a core for 30 sela, but each sa'a is worth a sela. Each sa'a is a sela. Now, remember again, there are 30 sa'a in a core. So essentially, again, it appears that I'm making a redundant statement. I'm saying I'm selling you a core for 30 sela, each sa'a for a sela. So we'll say, what does that lashon do? So what's that lashon? Rishon kana. I will say what that does is every single sa'a that is measured out, it becomes the property of the purchaser. In other words, I will say that you could renege on future sa'as, but any sa'a that you've already taken possession of is already yours. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here, tafas lashon achar. And I will say, here's a case of where you seem to have two contradictory lashonos. On one hand, you started out by saying what? Kor b'shloshim. So we'll say, what is kor b'shloshim? When is the transaction final? When? At the end. Then I say, sa'a b'sela, which tells me, when is the transaction final? After each sa'a. What does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, Rabbi saying, you can't, as soon as you get that sa'a, you're done. That part of the transaction is locked in. You can renege on future sa'as, but not on this sa'a. So what does that show you? What does that show you? That according to Shmuel, what? Tafas lashon acharon. Now Rabbi say, when you have two lashonos, we seize the second one. So why does Shmuel say, Zudivrei Benanas? Now, obviously, I'm ascribing a little bit more emotion to this. But Zudivrei Benanas, those are the words of Benanas, meaning those are Benanas' words, not my words, which makes it sound like Shmuel, bless you, which makes it sound like Shmuel himself does not subscribe to that. To which Gemara says, you're right. What he means is, Ela Zu Usvirale. What Shmuel meant to say is, this is the position of Benanas, but Shmuel himself also happens to hold this way. So Gemara says, really? I will say, bless you. Gemara asks another kasha, Umisvirale. Does Shmuel really hold Tafas Lashon Achron? Does Shmuel really hold ultimately again that you should seize the second Lashon? V'ha'amra Shmuel, beba be'emtzahachodesh haskinon. Oh, let's go back, bathhouse. All roads lead back to the bathhouse. So listen to this. So Shmuel says, let's go back to the bathhouse. Remember again, what happened in the bathhouse? I rented my bathhouse to Ruvain for 12 gold pieces for the year, one gold piece per month. Turns out that it's a leap year. There's an extra month. We don't know what to do with that extra month because Rabbi says, according to the first Lashon, the Reuven doesn't owe me any extra for the leap month because, again, he rented it for a full year, whether that's a year of 12 months or 13 months. According to the second Lashon, ultimately we're what? Why rented it in for one gold piece per month? He would owe me an extra gold piece. So remember again, Shmuel said, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi said Yachloku. They went ahead and they said, Lamaisa again, that you should split it. So the Gemara says, Shmuel says that, what's that case? Beba ba'em sachodash haskinon. I will say that's a case where ultimately, again, we show up to adjudicate about this month in the middle of the month. In the middle of the month. However, again, avabo b'tchilas achodesh. But I will say, if again the owner came in the beginning of the month, kul lamaskir, then I, the owner, have the ability to recapture the full additional gold piece. B'sof achodesh, but however, if I only come at the end of the month, kul lasocher, which I will say is another way of saying what? That whoever has the chazaka ultimately, again, reigns supreme. So if I, the owner of the bathhouse, come at the beginning of the month, I have the chazaka, the law sides with me, I have the ability to get you extra gold piece. If I only show up at the end of the month, right, this one, I will say, what, the month has already gone by, then the law sides ultimately, again, with the renter. So as I say, what do you see from here? Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Look at Rashbam. So again, you see over here, before we get to Rashbam, Shmuel says the only time that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi said Yachloku is when the owner and the renter are arguing about this, when Rabbi Yossi, mid-month. So therefore, essentially, the way we view it is, the renter owns half the month, so to speak, the part that went by, and the owner of the bathhouse owns the part of the month that lies ahead. But Lamaise, if the owner came at the beginning of the month, I'm entitled to the gold piece. If Lemaisa, again, I came at the end of the month. So in that case, again, I forfeited the gold piece. So I'll say, what do you see from here? You see that Shmuel doesn't hold Tafas Lashon Acharon. That Shmuel doesn't hold like Benanas. So what's going on over here? Amud Beis, Kofi Amud Beis. Elo, the Olam Zu Velo Svirale. So we'll say, rather, you have to say that what? You have to say that Shmuel says the Shita of Tafas Lashon Acharon is the Shita of Benanos, and Shmuel himself does not hold like this. Shmuel himself doesn't hold like this. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, if Shmuel doesn't hold like this, Vahasam Taima Mai. So I will say, ultimately, again, so if that's the case, then if Shmuel doesn't hold like this, then I will say, then what do you do in the case of the core Shloshim? Remember again, we said before, the way we wanted to prove that Shmuel holds Tafas Lashon Acharon, Rabbi Yosei, was from which case? Was from the case where I say to Reuven, I'm selling you a core of wheat for, for Shloshim Sela, for 30 Sela, Sa'a Besela. So remember again, how did Shmuel paskin in that case? Shmuel said that in that situation, Rabbi Yosei, every Sa'a that is measured out becomes the property of the purchaser, and neither party could renege, bless you, on that saw. They can only renege on future saws. And the way we understand Shmuel's sheet in that case is how, because Shmuel held toughest lashon acharon. We go after the second lashon. Now you're telling me that Shmuel doesn't hold toughest lashon acharon, as evidenced by the case of the bathhouse. If that's the case that Shmuel doesn't hold toughest lashon acharon, then how do I understand the case, the position of Shmuel in the case of kor b'shloshim sa'a b'sela, to which the Gemara says v'hasam. Look at the Rashbam. He says v'hasam taimamai mishum de toughest. Suppose I take a look at the Rashbam. The Hassam gabi merchatz. Time of Mayach Loku. Suppose that in the case, ultimately, again, of the bathhouse, why is it that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi Paskin, that they have to split the additional month? Why? Mishum de tafis kol echot hachotzi kidu kimna bebab emtsa chodesh. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, the way that case is set up is how? Is that each of the parties is muchsuk in their half. Because remember, the case that we're setting up, Rabbi Yossi, is how? Is that Lamai said they're coming in the middle of the month. So we'll say, listen to this very carefully. So we're suggesting the following. In the case of the bathhouse, the reason we say Yachloku is why? Mishum de Tafis. Because ultimately, again, both parties, so to speak, is holding on to something. Because according to Shmuel, the case is where the argument about the 13th month is occurring when? In the middle of the month. So therefore, again, the renter is holding on to his half. What's his half, Rabbi Yossi? What's his half? The half that's elapsed. And the owner is holding on to his half, which is what? The half that still remains. Therefore, again, that's mamon hamutal b'safek. It's money that's shrouded in doubt. What do you do with mamon hamutal b'safek? Yachloku, you split it. Hacha, over here refers to the case of the kor b'shloshim sela, or the kor b'shloshim sa'a b'sela, hacha nami tafis. So in that case also, what's going on over here? In that case as well, I will say, the wheat that has already been measured out, that also, I will say, the part that's already been measured out, is already held ultimately again by the purchaser. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yosei, both, essentially the Gemara is answering, is that both of these cases, Rabbi Yosei, the reason why we paskin the way we do is because the parties are muchzak in what they have. So in the case of the bathhouse, the renter is muchzak in the part of the month that has already elapsed. In the case of the wheat, the purchaser is muchzak in what, Rabbi Yosei? The sa'ah, or the sa'az, that he's already taken possession of. But it has nothing to do with toughest lashon acharon. It has nothing to do with do you ascribe supremacy to the first lashon or to the second lashon. So therefore, Rabbi Yosei, what we're holding right now is the following. What we're holding right now is, at the end of the day, Benanus seems to be alone on the island. That Benanus seems to be by himself in this position, that when you have two lashonos, you always seize the second. Now, is it possible that under certain circumstances you will have other opinions that agree with Benanus like Shmuel? And the answer is yes, but not because of Benanus's svara. meaning they may come to the same result as Benanos, but whereas Benanos ultimately comes to that result because he will ascribe transactional supremacy to the second Lashon, other opinions will come to that same conclusion, but not because of Tafas Lashon Acharon. For example, you see at least two cases where Shmuel and Benanos would paskin the same way, yet Shmuel will do it because the parties are muchzak, Benanos will do it because of Tafas Lashon Acharon. So the machlokis is still there. So again, it's a very simple take-home message. Machlokis. Machlokis, that's the take-home message. Now let's say, so what we have over here is the following. We have the sheet of Benanos, and Benanos, you gotta respect the man, right? You gotta, why? Because he's consistent. Because at the end of the day, he has a shita. His shita is tafas lashon acharon. Now, whenever a person is gonna say two different things, and we don't know how to make heads or tails of his statements, because they seem to be contradictory, not a problem. We look at the last thing that came out of your mouth. Whatever the last thing that came out of your mouth, ultimately, you know, both sides, you know, if you think about it, by the way, there's a lot of like hashkafa in this as well. Tafas lashon rishon, tafas lashon acharon, recognizing that people change. People change. People change their shitas, people change their hashkafas, people change their approach to life. So, meaning, do you go ahead and take a person for what they were, or do you take a person for what they currently are? There's a lot of hashkafa in this as well, but lamaisa, without getting into the hashkafa, the halacha is, Benana says, always look at the last statement. Shmuel, others, don't always adopt that position consistently. Another example that Sobo said, this is really amazing. Amr Rav Huna, Amri Bei Rav. So Rav Huna said, in the name of Bei Rav, the following case. This is really quite intriguing. What's the case? Istara Mea Ma'i. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, right. Istara Mea Ma'i, or Mea Ma'i, Mea Ma'i, Mea mai istaria. So istaria mai. So also listen to this case. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down the Rashbam. Istira mea mai. Mea mai. Istara istara. So what's the case over here? Amr lechavero. Bekama chafed zet. So we'll say this begins as a regular conversation. Ruben comes over to me and he says, how much is this object? I'm selling him a watch. How much is the watch? Amr le. Istara mea moi. As I say to him, I'm willing to sell it to you for an istara, 100 moi. Okay. Vinisratsu, we agree on the transaction. Vinisratsu mea moi chayivlo. Vim amarlo mea moi istara chayivlo istra. So we'll say, now listen to this. Just so you understand over here, skip down to the next Rashbam for just a moment. It's the Dibre Maskil Tafas Lashon Acharon, but we'll read into it again in the Gemara, just going to show you this Rashbam. He says like this. He says, Istira sela midina, v'chatsi dinar, shushmini shebesela tzuri, kidamrina b'achova b'atakeh l'chavero, v'chatsi dinar tishim v'sheish prutos. So we'll say, listen to this. An istira, on a technical level, is worth 96 moi. That's the relationship. Just remember this relationship. Istira is 96 moi. Reuven comes over to me, and Reuven says, how much is that watch? And I tell him, an istira, which is 100 moi. Now we'll say, now understand, those lashonas are contradictory. Because an istira is in fact 96 moi, and 100 moi is 100 moi, right? Again, so the 100 moi is 100 moi. That's the defined amount. An istira, the equivalent of an istira, is 96 moi. See, here, Rabbos, I've gone ahead and I've given Reuven a price that seems to be inherently contradictory. Istira is 96 moi, but yet I linked those two amounts. I said istira, which is 100 moi. So let's go back to the Gemara for just a moment. So the Gemara says, istira mea moi, or mea moi, istira, istira mai. So we'll say, so what do we do in these situations over here where a person is using two different lashonos? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, let me read that again. So the Gemara says, istira mea moi, mea moi. So I'll say, if I go and I tell Reuven, I'm selling you this watch for an istira, which is 100 moi. So we'll say, how do we value the transaction? Mea moi. If I said to him, the watch is worth mea moi, which is an istira. So we'll say, how much do I sell to him for? An istira, which is another way of saying what? Tafas lashon acharon. Tafas lashon achara. You feel like we've bonded with bananas today a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like you feel like when you learn, you know, you feel like you've developed a relationship with a tzaddik. So we feel like we could look at a case now when you see it, even without saying it, bananas. So the Gemara says, "Makamashalon." So I don't understand. Like, what's the chiddush in this case? Tafas lashon achara. Okay. Meaning, what are you teaching me? You're teaching me that lemaisa you have when you make two statements, and the first one seems to be somewhat contradictory to the second one. We go ahead and we take the second lashon. Okay. So what the Gemara is essentially asking is, you don't need to give me more examples. I got it. Meaning, I got it. This is the shita of bananas. That again, tafas lashon achron. Let's say the Gemara can come up with 5,000 different cases, all illustrating the same principle. But why do they need to tell me the same another case for a principle we've already learned? Ha amra Rav chadazimna. Rav already taught us this once. Do amar Rav, because Rav said, I will say what? Rav said, I havay hasam. If I was there, havayahivna kulei lemaskir. So we'll say, so what is this talking about if I was there? Look at the Rashbam again. We'll say, see the Rashbam? It's like right in the middle of the wide lines. Probably about 20 lines up from the bottom. Ihavai Hasam, Kishabam Maisa Lifne Reb Shimon Gamliel, Vlifne Rabbi Yossi, Vamri Yachloku, Hava Yahivna Kuli Lamaskir. Let's listen to this. Rav says, if I was there, Rav will say, back to the bathhouse. Back in, everybody. Right? So, right back in the bathhouse. So the Gemara says like this. Rav says, remember what happened in the bathhouse case? Bathhouse case, I said to Ruvain, I'm not feeling enough excitement from the Olam. I'm going to be honest with you. Like this is really like this is amazing stuff. So the Gemara says, "Is it the coffee? Is it a little weak today? You going with like half decaf in this?" Okay. So I'll say so again. So I'll say again. It just is a good muster, by the way. There's more excitement at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm just saying, like it's all right. We're switching to a regular Monday schedule on Sundays for now. That's better get into this now. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, now listen to this. So let's go back to the bathhouse case. In the case of the bathhouse, I said to Reuben, I'm renting you my bathhouse for 12 gold pieces for the year, one gold piece per month. So remember again, so what happens? Leap year, 13th month. What do I do with it? According to the first Lashon, what happens with the leap month? According to the first Lashon, 12 gold pieces for the year. Nothing happens with it. Essentially, the leap month becomes the benefit ultimately again of the renter. He effectively gets a free month because the nature of the transaction was I'm giving you 12 gold pieces for the year. But according to the second lashon, which was what Rabbi say, one gold piece per month. So then what? So then he has to pay an extra gold piece. So remember again, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yossi Paskin. How? What do they do with the 13th month? Yachloku, splitting. So okay, meaning the simple level, Rabbi Yossi, what they were saying is we don't know. We don't know what to do with these two lashonos. It's a safek. Here's the beauty of dinei mamonis. We have a general klal. Mamon hamutal b'safek yachloku. Whenever you have doubt about monetary law, the easiest thing we do is split it. Split it, okay. So Shmuel wanted to set it up that it's b'vav v'emtzah chodesh, whatever the case is. Rav comes along and says, by the way, if I was there, this is like armchair paskening, right? If I was there, I would have awarded the full amount ultimately to the owner. Why, Rav Osai? Where does Rav get that from? Because Rav says, tafas lashon acharon. What was lashon acharon in this case? One gold piece per month. Therefore, again, Rav says, if I was there, I would have given ultimately, again, the full amount of the additional month, meaning the extra gold piece, I would have awarded it ultimately again to the renter. But say, take a look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says again, he says, when Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yossi said you should split it, I would have said, Rav says, I would have awarded the gold piece for the 13th month to the owner. Why? Mishum the toughest lashon acharon. So Rav says, Gemara asks, I don't understand. Meaning, at the end of the day, so why do we need Rav? So I understand. Rav Paskin is like bananas. Good. The good news is, Rabbi Yossi, bananas is not alone on the island anymore. That as much as we thought Shmuel did Paskin like him, turns out Shmuel doesn't really Paskin like him, but Rav does Paskin like him. But why the need to state, meaning, again, why the need to keep stating over the same principles? So Rabbi Yossi, so skip the parentheses. Mal detema, because what would I have thought, Rabbi Yossi, in this case over here? Perushe kamefarish. See, the boss said, in this case over here, this is a bit different. I would have thought that the second statement is an interpretation of the first. What does that mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. Mahal de tema. Lav mishum de isle tafas lashon acharon kamar. Yehem nikul lemaskir. Ela mishum de ika lememar perushe kamafarish. Velo mahadir beklal. Ela niskavin litol dinar zol lechochodesh. Vahaya yore shema tisaber hashano. Upirish hach shana. Do amri lecha yud beis dinar lechana. Lo bishana muberes kamina. Ela bishana pshuta. Shemagia dinar lechochodesh.
So let's listen to this.
So the Gemara says the following. Even Ben Nanus, who says that what? Tafas Lashon Acharon. Even Ben Nanus agrees that the approach of Tafas Lashon Acharon is only a last ditch effort. When you can't reconcile the two Lashonos. But if you can engage in the reconciliation of the two Lashonos, that is always better. Therefore, in the case of the bathhouse, I was saying, I could have said that Lamaisa, the two Lashonos are not contradictory. Rather, what happens? In the first statement, I said, Reuben, I'm going ahead and I'm renting you the bathhouse for a year for 12 gold pieces. And then I say one gold piece per month. I both say, so we've always looked at one gold piece per month as a contradiction of the first statement. But the Gemara is saying the Havamina is that maybe not. Maybe that second statement, Rabbi Osai, is a perish ultimately on the first. It's a perish on the first. What's the perish on the first? So Rabbi Osai, again, the perish is, we actually alluded to this before, that maybe what I'm saying is, listen, I just like to make a couple of modifications. It's a yearly rental, but instead of getting paid at the end of the year, I'd like to get paid at different increments throughout the year. I'd like to get paid on a monthly level. Look at Rashbam, he says, Yesh lono lomar demifarishu, I'm sorry, go back, Eleniskavein litol dinarzov l'chochodesh, so I'll say ultimately again, my goal is when I rent it out for a year at 12 gold pieces, my goal is what? That I want to get one gold piece per year. But I do have a concern in the back of my mind that perhaps one gold piece per month, I'm sorry, thank you. But I do have a concern in the back of my mind that what? That maybe it's going to be a leap year. And I don't want to lose out on the leap month. Therefore, Upere Shach Shana, the Amri Lacha Yud Beis Dinar Lashana, Lo Bishana Mu'uberes Kamina, Ela Bishana Pshuta. So we'll say it's true that when I went ahead and I said 12 gold pieces per year, one gold piece per month, so my das ultimately again was on a regular year. Shemagia Dinar Lachol Chodesh, Techol Hecha Di'ika Lemeimar, Peirushe Kamafarish. Because I will say, whenever we could say that the second Lashon is coming to modify the first, or to interpret the first, v'lo yistiru ha-lashono zu azu, and the Lashonos are not coming to go ahead and contradict one another, yesh lanu lomar demefareshu, ve'inu chozer midiburo, ve'hilchach vaday azel basra lashon acharon, de'perush hu l'rishon. See, Rabbi Osai, the Gemara suggesting over here is the following. Don't think Ben Nanus just automatically always says Tafas Lashon Acharon. When Ben Nanus, the first rule, the progression is like this. When someone makes a statement or two statements, and at first glance those statements seem to be contradictory, the first stage in this process is what? Reconciliation. Reconciliation interpretation. Are we able to somehow reconcile these two statements and understand the second one as an interpretation of the first? It's only when what? Only when we can't do that, Rabbi Osai, then what? Then we say Tafas Lashon Acharon. However, about Istira Me'amai, Rabbi Osai, contrast this with the case. So therefore, in the bathhouse case, Rabbi Osai, one could make the cogent argument that this is not a case, ultimately, again, of Tafas Lashon Acharon. But rather, over here, in this case, I actually have the ability to interpret the second statement as a modification of the first. This is a yearly rental. But in order for me to ensure that I don't lose out on the leap month, and in order for me to ensure that also I'm able to get paid every month as opposed to going in and getting paid at the end of the year, I add on this additional modifying phrase. But we'll say contrast that with the case of the Istira. I'm just reading the Rashbam now. About Istira Me'amoy, Sha Istira Tzadik Va'prudas. But I will say, if I go ahead and I say, I'm selling Reuben, I'm selling you the watch for an Istira, which is 100 mos. So I will say, in that case over there, there is no reconciliation. Why? Because an Istira is 96 prutos. V'silshin ha'lashonos zeh et zeh. V'haydi kamer Istira Me'amoy, kilu amar Tzadik Vav Ma'os, Me'amoos dami. Ela shekach ha'y regilin l'daber v'kotzer lashon likros the Tzadik Va'prutos, Istira. Hasam kamarav halach achar ha-muchzot Kishmo Rabbanu Pligi Abenana. So we'll say, so the Gemara says over here the following. I might have thought that again, what about maybe in the case of the Istira as well? Maybe the case of the Istira Bosai, that people used to speak what Rashbam calls in Ladaber Bekotzer Lashon. Likros, Latzadikvav, Prutos, Istira. So we'll say, I would have thought that people just call 96 Prutos in Istira, because what's 4 Prutos? And therefore, again, maybe this also is not a proof to the position of Benanos. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kamash Malon, no. Kamash Malon Rav, Dike Benanos Svirole, Bahach the Ist, I'm reading Rashbam again, Bahach the Istra Meyamoi, Libasov Itmar Kemira Be'enai. So we'll say, the Rashbam then goes on, but the point of Rav Osai is, the Gemara would have thought, the Gemara, here's the progression. When Rav comes along and brings down this case, the reason why Rav's statement of this case is very important, because again, Rav introduces to us a very important dynamic, which is, even Benanos who holds that Lemaisa again, Tafas Lashon Acharon, that's only after you attempt reconciliation of the two statements. It's only when reconciliation fails that what? That we say Tafas Lashon Acharon. So I might have thought also that Lemaisa again, when a person, for example, says, Istira Me'amai, that they're really saying the same thing, but a person ultimately, again, just uses these shorter Lashonos. Kamashman Rabosei, Rav is coming along to tell us no. When ultimately, again, you cannot reconcile the two statements, Rav does hold like Benanos, and therefore we will say Tafas Lashon Achra. So Rabosei, the way this sugya closes out is the following. We have a fundamental machloket, so Rabosei, that when a person goes ahead and makes two contradictory transactional statements, what do we do with those contradictory statements? So Benanos, and now Rav will both say Tafas Lashon Acharon. But, there's a big but in this. What's the but? The but is you only say that when? After you attempt to reconcile the two statements. If reconciliation fails, then Lamais again Tafas Lashon Acharon. The Rabbanon pretty much includes everybody else. You have Reb Shimon Gamliel, you have Rabbi Yos, you have Shmuel, who essentially will say that when you make contradictory Lashonos, what do you do? What do you do? Essentially, you'll have to say Mamon Hamutal B'Safek Yachloku. That they will say in all these cases, meaning they're not passing against Benanos, but they're also not siding with Benanos. So therefore, again, they will say that any case we have contradicted Lishonos, you'll just simply have to go ahead and say Yachloku. Now, I will tell you something interesting, because what do you do with the bathhouse case? So I'll tell you the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll have to stop. But the Shulchan Aruch does go ahead and quote this bathhouse case. So this is in Choshen Mishpat, Shin Yud Beis, Sif Tes Vav. So listen to this. Hamaski Bais L'Shana B'Siko Miyadua V'Nesab Rashlech. This rental case is actually a very important case, and this must have come up all the time. Again, obviously, I guess people who are in the business would negotiate these type of terms ahead of time, but obviously what gets exciting for us is when you didn't. So I'm asking Bayis Lashana Basikum Yadua. So I'll say, so what happens? I went ahead, I rented Ruvain my home. Shulchan Aruch's case is not in the bathhouse, it's with the bias, but it doesn't matter. So I go ahead, I rent out the home to Ruvain for the year for 12 gold pieces. V'nisab Rahashana. And ultimately what happens, Rabosai? What happens? Leap year. So what's the halacha? Nisab Rahashana. Rabosai, who benefits in this case? The renter. Now this is an easy case. Why is this an easy case? Because this was a rental for a year. So we'll say everybody agrees in this case that when the rental, I'm renting Ruvain, here is the rental for the year. And it turns out that there was a leap month. So of course, the renter is the beneficiary of the extra month. However, what happens? Hiskir the chadosh. And we'll say, let's say it was a month to month rental agreement. So we'll say, what this means is, it's a yearly agreement, but it's structured as a month to month tenancy. So then what's the halacha? Nisab l'maskir. The Rabbi said, who gets the benefit of the leap month is the owner. The owner, right? The owner. However, hiskilo chadashim mishana. And Rabbi said, what about our case? Where I say to Ruvain, I'm renting you this home for 12 gold pieces for the year, one gold piece per month. And then Rabbi say, what happens? Lamai said it's a leap month. So what happens in that case? So hiskilo chadashim mishana. Bein shamarlo dinar lechodesh shnei masar dinar l'shana. Bein shamarlo shnei masar dinar l'shana dinar b'chol chodesh. So Rabbi said, listen to this. So you hear what the Shulchan Aruch says? Whether you go ahead and you mention the months first and the year second, or you mention the year first and the month second. Either way, Chodesh. So we'll say, what is Shulchan Aruch doing? Shulchan Aruch is discounting bananas from the beginning. What's the halacha? Hare Chodesh Ha'ibur Shal Maskir Shakarka Becheskas Va'aleha. We'll say the halacha is that the extra additional amount for the leap month ultimately belongs to the owner of the property because he has the chazaka on the property. In other words, we'll say that when in doubt, we side with the owner of the property and he gets the benefit of the additional leap month. So we'll say it appears. Now again, we can't necessarily draw any conclusions about Shita's Benanos. I just want to point out that it's clear that we do reject Benanos' approach in this case. According to Benanos, also, the way Benanos would pasken on this case is how? Tafas Lashnachron. Meaning, what did you say last? Did you say the month last? Did you say the year last? And that will govern the transaction. Shulchan Aruch passes the Bosei that essentially, again, we don't even pass. The truth is, the Shulchan Aruch passes the Bosei is not like anyone in this Gemara. Because again, according to Shmuel, according to Shem Gamliel of Yossi, we say, Mamona Motor Bosafik Kolkin. Shulchan Aruch essentially says, is Uke Mamona Becheskas Marei. Give the money to the one who has the Chazak in it. Who has the Chazak Bosei in this case? The owner of the land. Therefore, the way the Shulchan Aruch passes says, therefore, you have to divide this into three cases. If the rental agreement was structured as a yearly agreement, and there's a leap year, there's an extra month, who gets the benefit of the extra month? The renter. The renter. If it was structured as a month-to-month, even though it's a year-long lease, but it was structured month-to-month, who gets the benefit, ultimately, again, of the extra month? The maskir, ultimately the owner. And if both were mentioned, year and months, who gets the benefit? Again, the maskir, the owner. Why? Because, again, because there is doubt what to do, we keep the money with the one who has the chazaka, which ultimately is the owner. We'll stop here, pick up with the Mishnah, Emir Tzah Hashem, tomorrow.